I'm Eric Simpson. For those of you who haven't met, I'm one of the pastors at the Anson campus up in Zionsville. Several of your faces are familiar faces to me, but there's also some new ones. It's good to be with you on a Christmas Eve. Parents, do you remember what it was like Christmas Eve as a kid? Do you remember that? My 8-year-old daughter says to me earlier this morning, she says, Dad, exact quote. She says, Dad, just a heads up, I'm not getting any sleep tonight. I said, really? What do you plan on doing? Sissy and I, we're going to talk all night long. We're just so excited, we can't contain it. Boy, it's going to be a good night for the parents here. I can see this one already working. I remember when I was a kid, I was similar. Like, you couldn't get any sleep on Christmas Eve because, oh, parents, do you remember? I woke up one morning, I think, surely this is the year I'm going to get the light bright. With me with the light bright? Remember they slide that paper and you punch those things through? Huh? And dads, you remember the year when you thought for sure it was going to be the air pump Daisy BB gun? Huh? You're ready to shoot some stuff, right? And you could watch the BB like go in the air like that, you know? Or I remember the year when, you know, it was just one of those, you're waiting for your brother to get up and you're rolling down the halls and it was the old stomper trucks. Do you remember the stompers with the foam wheels that would climb everything and it was all set up on Christmas morning? I couldn't hardly stand myself. I was so excited about Christmas. And the angels actually went in advance of us and told us how we should respond about Christmas. In Luke chapter 2, he says, I bring you good news of great joy. Anybody need some good news tonight? Good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's Christ the Lord. That's good news. That Jesus came. God said he was going to come, and he came. And that's what we've been doing this whole Advent season, right? Each candle we've been lighting. You remember the four themes? Can we say them together? What was the first theme of Advent that we hit? Hope, right? The second theme was peace. Third was love, and then joy, right? Each of the candles representing those four themes and the centrality of Jesus over it all. And I want to reflect with you for a few minutes tonight on what it means to be a people of the already and the not yet. A people of the already and the not yet. If you have a Bible, you can open it up to 1 John, or you can just listen here at these words. This is the Message translation, opening words of 1 John. From the very first day we were there, taking it all in, we heard it with our own ears, saw it with our own eyes, verified it with our own hands. The word of life appeared right before our eyes. We saw it happen. And now we're telling you in most sober prose that what we witnessed was incredibly this. The infinite life of God himself took shape before us. You see, with Advent, we actually look two ways. We're a people of the already, that God told us in advance he was going to send the Messiah. And Jesus has already come. Jesus has already been born through the womb of the Virgin Mary. Jesus has already lived a sinless life. All right, boys, we got them all running around. It's Christmas Eve. You can't really give them candy canes and they'll just do laps. But Jesus has already what? Not only been reborn, went to the cross, died on the cross, went to the tomb, rolled the stone away, walked out of the tomb. Jesus has already ascended into the heavens. Jesus has already done exactly what God said he was going to do. It's all the ways God has come through for us. We are a people of the already. And once a year during this time of the year, we step back. And as we light these candles on these four themes, we remember that Jesus is our hope. He is our peace, he is our love, and he is our joy. He has already demonstrated he is fully trustworthy in these ways. And yet Advent is where a people who sit on this pivot point between the already and the not yet. And being a people of the not yet, you know, we have a language for that. There's a groaning of the not yet. Because although Jesus has already come and defeated sin, the daily battle with sin is not yet over. That although Jesus has begun to reign, every knee has yet to bow. That although Jesus has won the ultimate victory, though he has defeated death, there has yet to be the full extent of that victory experienced on this earth. It's the he has already come, how? As a baby in a manger clothed with a blanket. He has yet to come in full resurrection glory with the trumpet blast and the angels descending. See, in Advent, we sit on the pivot point. We're a people of the already. We look back. We remember the ways that God has already come through for us. And we use that. We anchor ourselves there. And we keep one eye looking towards the, he's not yet. It's the remembering and the anticipating. And some of you come into Christmas Eve and you're very familiar with the groans of the not yet. Maybe 2012 for you has been one groan after another on the not yets. Maybe you've been slowly watching a family member, physical body fading away, and you sit by that bedside and you groan for things to be different. Maybe you've been battling with a marriage that's more complicated and difficult than you ever imagined it being, and you're trying to piece it back together, and you've been groaning, crying out to God. Maybe you've been in a situation with a job, and it's like every time you apply for a job and try to get that work, it's like it's just out of your reach, and you just keep groaning for something to come through, for them to be a breakthrough somewhere along the way. You don't have to live much life to know you're going to spend a fair amount of it groaning as a people of the not yet. So yesterday afternoon, my wife Kendra got one of those phone calls that you just could respond with groaning. It's the phone call that you're never quite ready to receive, but you try to prepare yourself for. It was her brother calling yesterday afternoon to inform Kendra that their dad had passed away yesterday. And so he's not been well health-wise for quite a while. It's kind of been a slow, deteriorating battle with cancer. But as Kendra said, she's like, I knew my dad was going to pass away soon. I just didn't think it was going to be that soon. Some of you have been there, right? And so what cries out from the depth of your soul when you receive a phone call like that, when you encounter a moment like that? It's the groaning, right? It's the groaning for the not yet. That though Jesus has defeated death, we still, in this life right now, we're between the first coming and the second coming. What do we still experience? We still have to say the goodbyes. We still have to long for the reunions. Do you know that one day we won't groan like that anymore? Kendra's relationship with her dad hasn't always been the best. It's been one of the most difficult in her life. She sought to build bridges back. The last few years were better than a lot of the others. But she said to me something, with tears running down her face, she said, you know what I know, honey? He was a Christian. When I see him in glory, I know our relationship will be completely healed. And all that wasn't quite set right will be set right there. And his body that was fading away will be made new. That's real hope. But we're in the in-between. In 2012, we come into a Christmas Eve service, and part of the groaning that occurs is this groaning on the pivot point between the already and the not yet. And so here's what I invite us collectively to do together tonight. I want us to make an agreement together tonight that we will be a people who take all of the question marks and all of the disappointments and all of the heartaches and all the pains and all the sufferings and all the groaning about living in the not yet, and set those under the banner of God's great already. Can we do that? That what we do as a people We take all of the groans of the not yet, and we say, here's what I'm going to exercise, Lord. I'm going to exercise a steadfast trust in you and your word. That you said you were going to come the first time. Now, he didn't come in the time frame that people expected. Remember that. It was always quite a bit longer. You live enough life with God, you realize he's not on our timetable, right? And generally, he's going to operate quite a bit more slowly than we prefer him to. The sooner you kind of grasp that, the better off the relationship's going to go. And so, you know, the people of God, they were thinking the Messiah was going to come quite a bit sooner than he came, but he came. And he didn't quite come in the way they expected. Have you noticed that about God? You link your life up with God, and you're going to find out this. He's not going to come through in the ways you expect him to always, right? They didn't expect their king to go to a stable in a manger. They didn't expect their king to grow up making footstools and wood benches in a carpentry shop. They didn't expect their king to be nailed to a cross, accused innocently. See, but he did come through. They didn't expect to lay their king in a tomb, but then on the third day he rose. See, God's not going to always come through in the time frame we expect and in the way we expect. But here's what we're going to exercise. Steadfast trust in his word. And what has he told us? We're a people of the already, and we're a people of the not yet. We're a people who look back and remember, and we're a people who look ahead and anticipate. He said he will come again. He's going to come again. And obviously, they missed it on December 21, right? Here we are. Everybody was asking me, all kinds of people want to talk to pastors last week, especially on December 21, right? There's a whole group of like middle school girls at the other church. They were Wednesday night. They're all standing at the top of the stairwell. And it was like, it was this moment. They're all standing there going, do you think the world's going to end tomorrow? I don't know. What do you think? Do you think it's going to end tomorrow? I'm a little nervous about it. They're just having this long dialogue right there. I thought to myself, I know one day Jesus is not going to come back. That's December 21. Because he is not going to validate all those wackos that are out there trying to predict. Right? Because he said what? You don't know the day, the time, or the hour. So anytime someone slips a date or, you know, sends you the email about when he's coming back, you need to whisper to yourself, well, Lord, I'm pretty confident it's not going to be that day. Because you're not going to know. Here's what we do know. We're one day closer today than we were yesterday. We've been living in the last days since Jesus ascended to the heavens. And we're one day closer than we were yesterday, and he decides when. And the question tonight is, are we ready? We need to be ready. Because being a people of the already and the not yet means when the trumpet blasts and the king descends in all of his resurrection glory. Hear this. He's not coming as a baby in a manger this next time. He's coming full glory, full power, displaying his reign. And everything that's wrong will be set right. Revelation 21 and 2 say what? He's going to wipe away every tear from their eyes. No more suffering, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. The old order of things is going to pass away. The groaning of the not yet will cease. And the dwelling of God will be with men, and he will live with them. You long for that day? I sometimes get weary of living in the not yet. Anybody just come in a little exhausted from the realities of the not yet? It can be wearisome. And what God asks us to do, not to deny, tough times, tough sledding in some of our lives that you hit, and you take the groans of the not yet and you set it under the banner of the great already. That God is trustworthy, he is faithful, he promised the first time he'll come through, he promised the second time he will come through. He'll come through for you. He will deliver. It most likely won't be in the time frame you expect or in the way you expect, but hold on to this. He will come through. And in between now and then, let's be a people who are ready, right? If the trumpet blasts tomorrow, let's be ready. And no better time than Christmas Eve to get that set right. Amen? Let's pray together. Lord, I pray, thanking you for the great already, thanking you for the ways you have come through, the ways you have demonstrated your faithfulness, your trustworthiness, your love, your power, your hope, your peace, your grace. You've done abundantly, immeasurably more than we could ever ask, hope, dream, or imagine. And tonight we remember So we light these candles and we sing these songs and we read these scriptures and we share in this great community of fellowship called the local church. We remember all the ways you've come through. And then, Lord, I pray for those in the room. It's a lot of groaning that goes on, waiting for you to return, waiting for all that's wrong to get set right. I pray for your healing grace, Lord, to be poured out on relationships, physical bodies. Provide, Lord, for jobs and finances. There's some who the balance sheet continues to not add up at the end of the month. Come through, O Lord. Some who are lonely, come through in friendship. Some wound up in addictions, break through by the power of Jesus' name. And then, Lord, if there's any in the room who aren't quite sure if they're ready for you to return, may tonight be the night. Set it right. Just call out to Jesus. Say, Lord, I give you my whole heart. Surrender my life to you. Forgive me of my sin. Take over my life. Lead me. Direct me. I want to live for you. I want to be born again. I want to be ready when the trumpet blasts. For you said you would come, and you did come, and you said you will come again. And we as a people collectively say, amen. Yes, Lord Jesus, come. In Jesus' holy name.